Fife fans, and welcome back to the best thing you've chosen to listen to right now, Fife Club. As always, the first rule of Fife Club is...
Nobody? That's fine.
Please talk about Fife Club.
Behind our backs.
Actually, behind our backs. We want you just to spread the fucking word. Yeah.
Okay.
Fine, you can just tell us.
Yeah, if you let us know, or at least get the people that you've told to listen and then let us know that they think we're awful. That would be good too.
Yeah. Because then people will want to know how awful we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we...
It'll be like a bad movie.
Yeah, and we can keep letting them down.
Sharknado.
Yeah. I think that's even better production quality than this. But yeah, I would like to say a personal sorry to you Fife fans out there for not really giving you a proper show last week. I got a last-minute chance on some tickets for Butefest on Thursday and needed to put together an emergency festival kit with Kirsty for the next 2 to 3 days. So there was no way I could have done the potty too. So yeah, sorry, my fault.
That's not really true though, is it, Kirsty? You were at a nudist camp.
No.
I heard you were spelunking with David Bellamy. Reach for the sword. You didn't know what he was talking about, did you? That was an awkward moment.
Yeah. As I told you the other day, that is definitely an accidental partridge. Yeah. Partridge pitch, if you've ever said one.
I just had Matt Bellamy in my head for Matt some reason.
Yeah. Spelunking with Matt Bellamy. Yeah. Well, that'd be interesting.
He's got long fingers. Could be fun.
And a guitar with like a...
Chaos pad.
Chaos pad in it, yeah.
Which Kutch wouldn't let me do to his guitar. I was like, Kutch, it'll be a project. We could stick a chaos pad in your guitar. He was like, no. Fuck you, Kutch. It would have worked fine.
It's not going in the joint loan. where are we? So, that was a thing. Anywho, around the mic with me, Kutch, tonight is the ever-loving green brown-eyed Jamie.
Hello.
Next up, as a wee change to normal, it's the mighty Dave.
Hello.
There was a point when I was writing this that Mark was indisposed this week, being a jet-setting wee comms wank. So Dave has kindly stepped in to the wee man's seat this week. But then the wee man turned up because he got a wee bit extra time. So, hi, Mark.
Hi, Kutch.
Hi, Mark.
Wee wanky. But in fairness, though, that's what level of commitment to not miss a podcast, right? Stroke, yeah. Don't have anything better to do.
Hi.
And finally, it is the uncanny James.
Hello.
So yeah, there's five of us this week because, well, we put together four of us when Mark couldn't turn up.
I'm literally half a man, and that's not a comment on my height.
Low sperm?
It's a problem. We've all read that it's a problem. Yeah.
It's halved, apparently, I think, worldwide. Yeah, that's... It's
too much wanking, that's what.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Scrape the front of your laptop, Kutch, and I'll get the world's reserves back.
It still tastes the same, anyway.
Oh, there it is. Handmaid's Tale coming true. Jesus, fuck.
More like a Hunchback's Tale. That's a stretch. That's a stretch.
Jesus Christ. That is the motley bunch that we have this week. Gotta tell you a wee bit about Butefest. It was fucking great.
I'm glad to hear it. You sell out.
It was absolutely brilliant. And I've gotta say thanks to Lindsay and Viv and Viv's sister for basically winning tickets and then not being able to go because that meant we could.
So, really good of them.
So sucks to be you guys.
So thank you. And Lindsay and Viv, of course, basically you've totally entertained us the entire weekend. They are also known as the Coal Town Daisies, Fife's very own. Great band, sort of folk, rocky folk, country, you name it, they'll try and play it. All their stuff's just thoroughly good stuff, and they're absolutely cracking live as well, which they played on the Saturday. Absolutely brilliant set. Lots of folk turned up, and had a good old time. It's a really nice little festival. It's bigger than I've been to Best of the West in Inverary, which is a wee festival. It's really quite wee. Bute's a wee bit bigger than that, but it's not like your Tea in the Park or your Glastow's or anything
Thank
like that.
Christ, yeah.
it's quite literally in a park in the middle of Rothsay town centre, which is another thing. I did not realise Rothsay was as big as it was for the fact that it's out on one of the islands and is only accessible via a 45-minute ferry. But yeah, like quite a big town for it, and big population too.
I had a very similar experience with Alloa recently. I genuinely
and that's connected by road.
Well, no, genuinely, I went through Alloa for the I don't know if it's the first time or like first time I can remember. Anyway, I was like, bloody hell, this is a lot bigger than
I know. Alloa's quite a big town.
And everyone there is related.
You know, in Alloa, I make the same jokes about Fife.
Frankly, it was the whole weird going through a time machine to go back to the deprived era of
some people out there doing their own podcast, Clack Manning Club.
Clack Manning Clack.
Oh wow. I don't even want to think.
Bellwether constituency in elections.
Yeah.
Scottish
yeah.
elections.
That's true.
Clack Manning or Clap Manning. Because of all the STIs. What? Yeah, get around you.
You're all dirty swines.
Back to Bute Fest anyway. So a couple of great bands. There was the Gluten Freaks, who are a ska band with three absolute mental lassies who sing and dance, like ska dance all the
way through.
Oh, is
that the video you sent us on the chat?
Possibly.
Yeah, but there was people dancing. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, no, they were brilliant, and like just the cardio that those girls must have to do like a 45-minute set where they're just constantly moving and singing. Jesus.
Gluted freaks! Gluted freaks!
The super freak guy!
Maxi Roots as well, who was the headliner in the third stage on the Saturday night. Maxi Roots is a guy, but he has a band. He's sort of like into sort of electronica and dubstep, but the whole band, it's sort of like Latin reggae mixed with dubstep and electronica.
It's not a mix between like Maxi Jazz and Roots Maneuver.
No, it's not. Although actually,
that's a shame, because that's a shithole.
In fairness though,
or Maxi Pads and Roots Maneuver.
the sound is kind of getting up in that sort of area.
Dubby sort of.
Yeah, and I think, with its Latin roots, they kind of remind me a little bit of the kind of beat and the rhythm of it. It's kind of like tanghetto.
Oh yeah,
sort
brilliant.
Of like that kind of thing with some rapping and as I say, then just every now and then just the fucking bass dropping like nothing else and everybody going tits. It was great. Really good. Thoroughly enjoyed them. Another band that we caught on Sunday was Eriska. It's E-R-I-S-K. It's named after one of the islands. Yeah. They are a sort of trad folk stroke indie rock, kind of like Law and some of these bands where they kind of mix it up a little bit.
Sure, I've always called them Law.
So did I.
Law. I've always called them Law.
I asked Chris Drever before saying something fucking weird to
What did you say to Chris Drever?
Have you not heard the story of how every time I've met Chris Drever I've said something really weird?
Yeah.
That was the time when I asked him how it was pronounced and then he was like, oh, if you want to put down your email address down on the form, we'll send you stuff. And then he caveated that with nothing weird, mind, which I then suddenly took as an invitation to say, like what? Like a baby's head in a box.
So there you go. There you go, guys. He's not just that weird on the podcast.
Well, to follow up with the next time I saw Chris Drever, I saw him at another gig. He was coming out of the toilet and I opened the door at the same time. And
he
I just said to him, it's you. And he just looked at me. So that was weird. And then another toilet incident with Chris Drever. Uh-huh. I had some really pretty significantly bad stomach troubles at one of his gigs as well. And I went in there and absolutely ruined the toilet. Came out of the cubicle to find out it was only basically me and Chris Reaver in the toilet.
And did you go, oh, it's you?
No. But by that time, my reputation was already well soiled.
Stealing stone.
I'd
only heard that middle story. I'd not heard the other two.
Oh, God, no. Every time I've seen him, I've said something fucking ridiculous.
I kind of have a similar story with Colin Mack from Mull Historical Society. Perth Music Hall, I was there and went into the toilets, and then somebody sidled up to the urinal next to me, and I kind of was like, oh, hi. And he was like, hi. I was like, hope you have a good show. And then we stood silently for about 2 minutes while both of us finished peeing.
At least he didn't offer to shake his hand.
Did you look at his cock though?
No, I didn't.
Did you? Well,
no.
Your mouth says no, but your eyes say yes.
I obey the rules.
That's what Kutch said to him as well.
The strangest thing about it is you'd never corrected him on his urinal ethics. You didn't even say, like, can you just move
there
to the next one?
There was only two urinals, and you know, he's a musician that gets up on stage, so he's, you know, a psychopath. So
you don't mess with that.
Not gonna fight with it.
I was just gonna say to you, back to your comment earlier about maxi pads. Did they not famously cover a Pearl Jam song? And I'll leave that there. For affectionados only.
Oh dear.
Oh Jesus.
Even floor.
Yes.
That took me so long.
No, I was there.
That took me so long.
Because the worst part is that whenever I hear it, I always think, heavy flow.
I thought you were making a Pearl Jam joke.
No.
Pearl Jam is...
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I thought I was coming in with the even flow joke. I didn't even realise that.
No,
was...
that's sitting there.
No, I went for a period joke. I bet you're glad I'm all here. Yeah, it would be better if it just hadn't turned up, really, right? Yeah, I get that feeling already.
I think I might just end it all.
Nah, mate, but you're still alive.
It's a good job my name's not Jeremy.
Yeah.
So it's getting tenuous now.
I can't really think of it anymore.
So let's get back to Mutefest again. One band that I have to say that we discovered just before we went on the Friday... and then went and seen them, and they are just new favourite band of the moment is Colonel Mustard and the Dijon Five. If you haven't heard them or seen them, check them out. Get on Spotify, whatever you've got, YouTube. They're absolutely brilliant fun. They had, like, at the gig, they had a dance-off in the middle of the main stage, got everybody to separate and big circle round, and folk coming in and having a party. They got the best dancer to come up on stage. They were getting the kids involved. You know,
you were up on stage?
No, I wasn't. Oh, right. I'm not the best dancer, mate. So
what?
But yeah, there was like tons of kids, like the dedicated fan base as well. Like there was, as soon as we went into the arena on Sunday, just tons of folk walking around with yellow Colonel Mustard t-shirts and leggings and the whole thing. So many people decked out in yellow. It was cool to see like that kind of dedication as well, and that people seem to appreciate how fun they are, and like beach balls being chucked out into the crowd. And I just say they were big on the audience participation and made it a lot of fun, and their songs are absolutely brilliant, really fun and cool lyrics and stuff. Check them out, really check them out. I think who else? Oh, the Johnstown Flood, another Fife group as well. They're
don't know them.
Kind of do the Fife music scene a fair bit and tour all around the country.
When I sort of watched the video and they looked familiar, I think I've seen them in PJs. Mm-hmm.
Possibly the point there. Again, it's sort of on a sort of a trad folky kind of vibe there. Stories about like coal mines and strikes at coal mines and stuff like that in their songs. It's really cool. If you ever get the chance, anybody ever gets the chance to do Butefest, I would highly recommend it. It is a good laugh.
Did you have a beautiful time?
I had a beautiful time.
Yes.
So yeah, that's that.
So fuck you, Tina Park, basically.
Yeah, fuck you, Tina Park. And then we're away up to Best of the West again in September, which looks to be an absolute cracking time with Skippin'ish, I think, are one of the headliners that.
Good effort.
Yeah.
Last festival I was at was Wicker Man when I was maybe 23. Can't remember. It's all a bit of a blur. Yeah, might not ever go to a festival again.
I kind of thought my festival days were behind me until we did Best of the West last year, and it was the most middle class festival I've ever been to. It was fucking great. That's why we're going again this year. And then obviously this came up, and it's like, I cannot remember the last time I did two festivals in 1 year. I think it was about 17.
Yeah.
Probably the year of.
Yeah,
Gig in the Green.
Yeah,
or something.
Gig in the Green, and yeah. Like all the day, 1 day ones at the SCCC and Tina Park. And
could you imagine going back to Tina Park now?
No.
Yeah. Oh, I just,
well, I actually can.
Yeah. Well, I guess. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it was like fucking crowded. It was muddy. It was fucking horrific.
Do you know
atmosphere.
What? Like 2005 were all good years. 2006 was the last year I went, and that was the year when they upped the capacity to some like 80,000 odd, and it just got like they added an extra 10,000 to the number, and it felt really, really.
All of them were from Glasgow as well. Yeah. It was a fucking disaster. I looked at it, like I remember like the 2004 was the one where it was the Friday night. It started absolutely hammering down. So we covered our tent, our single skin tent, in bin bags and turned it into the cave. And we woke up on a Saturday morning and it was like 23 degrees outside the tent.
Oh god, that year where
we were dying.
We had that one bad night, and then the rest of it was, it was like being in Spain and there's no cover except for the tents, which are 1,000 degrees.
unless you bring yourself a fucking gazebo like we did.
Oh,
yeah.
It wasn't a tent.
It's not, no matter what the fire marshal people say, it isn't a tent.
Yeah, it also doesn't stop you from having a.
No, wait, it is a tent, it's not a gazebo. That was my argument. I'm sticking to it. You cannot take it away.
I even sang the song at the security guard to try and convince him otherwise, but he was determined. Yeah. It had three sides. And it
you have three sides.
Exactly that.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't a tent. Those bastards.
I just wanted to say what an interesting shock I had over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Fife Club related, to notice that like our part-time and occasional guest Dave has spun off into his own, his own podcast. Fucking hell, it takes him 3 episodes and he's got his own solo project. It's outrageous.
Just like Jim Morrison. I was getting to that stage where it was like, I need to try something new. So it's either that or heroin. So
sonically sticking your dick through a hole in the wall and you'll get sucked off.
Me and Scott sat and recorded the thing, because we, about 10 years ago, formed a band / got a band name, and we were called Lady Boner, why not? And then from there, created a band, never did anything at all with it. Occasionally put posts up, maybe once a year. And then it was like, we'll do Glory Hole, we'll do a podcast. And it was like, no bother. We've had 77 listens in a week to a 25-minute conversation, which is utter bullshit. I believe 70 of those people were looking for a literal glory hole. Which is a bit of a problem. So, yeah,
I mean, it'll be on the pod. It'll be all the other like creators on the Podomatic charts looking and going, "Oh, glory hole."
And then just hear me and Scott and go, "Maybe." No, because we talk about Bridge Street a lot as well, and the irony there is you're more likely to get an STD from our old flat, not from glory hole. So,
or the flat above.
Yep.
What you talking about?
It's basically like you go, like you end up in a bus station in Glenrothes, like looking through the. Looking through a little hole in the stall in the toilets and seeing Andy Zoltzman on the other side going, oh.
Well, this
is what I was about.
Even worse, you just see me and Scott having a conversation. Worse.
You should do a live recording in Greaves' Alley.
Oh my god.
A terrifying one. Owls hooting in that in the background.
With the peacock blocking you in.
Greaves' Alley was the alley below mine. Well, Dave lived in the flat below me with Scott, and Greaves' Alley was the alley at the back where people went to smoke / shoot up.
Oh, yeah. Where junkies went to die.
Yeah.
It's like an elephant graveyard. Yeah.
Greavesy. But you see, with James, at least you had the decency to have your already.
I was already there.
An ongoing established podcast for us to borrow from.
Yeah. Just wanted one more hit, man.
Oh, wow. But yeah.
But you're planning to do more, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. At some point, we're supposed to. As me and Scott have always done, we make plans and it's just like, yeah, we'll do that totally next week. Yeah, and then like we don't see each other for like a month. And like, we're gonna do that thing that time.
Yeah.
We'll do it sometime. Yeah.
So if we are not safe for work, you're our even more unruly older brother.
We're the X-rated brother you wouldn't want to introduce your girlfriend to. our plan is,
and you barely want to introduce us to a girlfriend.
What the plan is to talk about some of the horrendous stories that we managed to compile and collate from our past, because there's lots of them, and we're going to get guests on as well who are going to come on and talk about some of their stories, so we'll get you guys on at some time too, and we'll just talk through shit and just unveil our deepest, darkest, most horrendous secrets.
All my stories from your fat involved Nazi zombies.
True.
So, actually, just thinking about this, James has got his podcast, Dave's got a podcast, Jamie's appeared on other podcasts.
Yeah.
What's wrong with us? Why don't they like us?
Well, I might be appearing on another podcast sometime soon. I just need to contact them again and remind them. Yeah, no, I'm going to get back in contact with the guys at Walk Fife.
Yes.
Yes, they reached out ages ago and then we had things and did stuff and I've never got back in contact with them. So I need to really do that. And if you're sort of listening, guys, you'll hear from me soon. Because, yeah, I think that's a great idea and definitely want to do more promotion with you guys.
Your cat is eye-clawing the shit out of someone.
This is linking directly into an article that was released as well.
Was that an electric motor I heard?
Yes, it was.
Yes. What is it? If it's ethical or not in order to keep pets anymore.
Yeah.
So I'll let you guys chime in first and I'll just fucking rubbish all the arguments with one straight line.
Be your own pet, that's what I say.
It's an interesting, I think it was the Guardian that had it, and I was having a wee read of it today, and just basically saying, you know, is it ethical to keep pets, especially as we sort of go on and the more people have pets and we have more pets, and like pet industry is worth something like $10 billion in the UK, people are now putting pets down as members of their family on the census, including them as members of the family. And people, you know, when talking about pets, sometimes value them more highly than family members, and genuinely treat them like a member of the family. And it's sort of like, if you genuinely feel that they are a member of the family, why do you then still act like you own them, and that you own these, you know, these animals, you treat them as something that's essentially throwaway.
What's our pet history around the table? That might be interesting.
You don't have time for this.
I'll go first because I'm very vanilla. I've got dogs, cats, and a budgie. That's all I've got in my.
I've dogs, cats, lizards, budgies, fish, tortoise. I think that's about it.
Just cats for me. I'm a crazy cat lady.
Just a annoying as hell budgie when I was a kid, and my sister had a dog that came over all the time, so I'm gonna get that one as well. You had a zoo, didn't you, Dave?
Well, fuck me.
Dave is a regular animal botherer.
Yeah, I'll go from the early days, gerbils, budgies, all the way through to more recently, lots and lots of different lizards. Chameleons, bearded dragons, rankins, through to frogs now that my parents have. So they've got poison arrow frogs, poison dart frogs, all that lot.
There's a difference?
Yeah, there's a lot of different breeds of that. I'm not getting into that.
They also supply all the assassins in the Firmland as well.
Ninja suppliers.co.uk. Yeah, all the way through to, I think they've got 6 tortoises, chickens, they had quail, we had a pygmy hedgehog as well at one point, and a dog. Oh, and loads of cats.
Yeah.
But, just fucking, I name it, we had it. Basically.
I used to know all your cats. I used to know all your cats' names. There was a fucking shitload of them.
Yeah, man.
There was like 10 of them or something.
No.
Or maybe six or seven?
I think the most there was at one point was when there was kittens as well, so there was, technically speaking, 12 cats in the house.
Oh, fucking
which was like, and like 4... mid-teenage boys that were just kicking the shit out.
What was the old one that always sat up on the top thing was a total dickbag?
Scoofy.
Yes. Yeah, Scoofy was a fucker.
Scoofy was alright. She was just a total bellend.
So, Dave,
yes.
Is it ethical to keep pets?
Yes. The way I'm going to kind of sum it up is by saying that right now, if I was to get a pug, right, mm-hmm. and be like, go, you're free. It would die within within hours it would be fucked. And the other point on that as well is like talking about the ownership of things and kind of having a throwaway, but people don't just throw away their pets. You wouldn't just get your cats and be like, you live outside now, bye.
Yeah.
Dicks. Maybe you would.
I think that
my next door neighbour does article, but that cat is a dickhead, so I understand.
The article went into it a bit, it sort of said how like in the 60s 70s, when pet ownership was generally tended, like pets generally tended to be more well off people had them, had a sort of stay at home pet and not like a working animal. And in those situations, when they went on holiday, they would usually just have it euthanized because it was cheaper to get a new one when they came back than it was to put it into
Jesus
care.
Christ.
And it's how our attitudes have changed and it's sort of like, but then with our attitudes changing, you know, should we be taking
which is
pets?
Good though, because
it's interesting. I can see sides of it from all angles, but as a pet owner, I fucking like having pets.
Surely on those grounds, then it's more ethical now to have a pet than it was back then.
Absolutely.
Just by that argument alone. So I feel like it's a bit strange to say it's not ethical to have pets, but we live in an era where, you know, anxiety, depression, I forgot the one I was going to talk about as well. That there's
PTSD.
A lot of BTSD. Yeah, there's a lot of mental health issues that pets can help with. You know, we have a lot of animal dogs that help kids with those type of issues.
Ecstasy helps with PTSD as well.
It does.
It's a true story.
So the flip side to that argument is that we're keeping them just to satisfy our own needs rather than the actual welfare of the animal in its natural state.
Can I take a slightly different thing other than they're just, I think the problem is that people are trying to treat pets like humans and they're not humans.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, one of our lecturers used to say this thing, which was when we talked about non-human anthropology. So he'd say some indigenous peoples all across the world see mountains as part of their family. And you might think that's weird and laugh about it, but then do you think of your pet as part of your family? Yes. And it's how these non-human things can be seen as part of your family. So I think it's also with what you were saying about domestic pets, I think there's a difference between, I don't think people should be able to keep lions and tigers and shit like that, but domestic animals have literally co-evolved with us. We've changed them and they've changed us as well, actually.
Well, it's through the point nowadays you've got hypoallergenic pets because people are breeding things that they're basically mongrels is how they were known back in the day, but you've got cocker spaniels being bred with poodles to create cockapoos, which are entirely fluffy, wonderful things. And yeah, my brother has one and I have to say they're brilliant. Peace out, buddy. But yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, they're being bred through human intelligence, but it's through want and desire and it's less of a status symbol now. There are some pets that are being used as status symbols. Even some dogs. You've got these dogs that are bully dogs just now, which are essentially coffee tables that bark. They're just big, wide, stupid, muscly, not good for their own health animals. And I can't see the ethical side of keeping those because they're just going to get ill very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But as for day-to-day pets, like, I mean, your cat sat here just now, just fast asleep, not giving a shit that there's 5 idiots.
Apart from when he just tried to start a fight.
Yeah, he's trying to start a fight, now he's turned his back on me. So it's like, yeah, that's it.
Not a threat. Yeah.
But that's exactly it. I mean, he's as happy as,
he's a cat in a cradle.
Yeah.
Can I just go back and say, like, James's point as well? I think there's a weird thing about like there's different eras of the way like pets are and status symbols and things like that. Mm. Like you remember, like there's all these stories from like the 60s and 70s and things of people going in like King's Road in London and then going into Harrods and like buying a fucking tiger and things like that. Like that is outrageous. Like that's, we've morally moved on so far from then. But also, like, remember the was it the 90s or early 2000s? It was like Paris Hilton and the dog in a fucking basket and a handbag that gets carried around. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And people think.
Although there has been a beautiful resurgence of that in New York when they banned dogs from being on the subway except for dogs that could be in bags. So people were just taking bags. Big bags with
their dogs and Labradors and German Shepherds
just hanging out on a shoulder bag.
That's really good. Dog heads just sticking out the top.
Like, and the dog's just been like, aye, cool. I have to kind of love that kind of ingenuity. But,
I just wanted to bring up something that like they brought up in the article was working animals. Uh-huh. So we think we've moved on and, you know, what you're saying about euthanizing pets, mm-hmm. but depends on what your relationship is to the animal, even within our current culture. Because I remember Warren telling me about his neighbor, who's a farmer, and his dogs were working dogs, they were sheep dogs. And then one of them was just too old to work, so he shot it.
Yeah.
I just told him that, matter of fact. He was like, shot it, too old to work, might have lived for a few more years, but, and, you know, need a new dog, so shot it. But, you know, and that's, I can understand that. In that context,
I think with working dogs as well, though, once they're working dogs, can be hard to train as pet, as like full on in house pets. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, they become old, they become, you know, like sore, blind, decrepit, basically, and become vicious, and then they become a danger to everybody else. So I can see. I can't see the idea of why you would euthanize
but I don't think that was even the case. I think he was just doing it because it had no more use to him. I think that was the main issue. It was just like,
It's the equivalent of someone hitting 65 in your workplace and you're all like, way, get the balloons out. There's a cake came out the back.
John,
this hurts me more than it hurts you.
I haven't given you your gold watch yet.
I thought it was a party cannon.
Pick it off.
I'm just going to put this out there, but it would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah. Brexit, mate.
Why does this gold watch have blood on it? No reason, John. No reason.
I just wanted to say on this, I brought up another thing that I thought about was.
Two ticks.
Cat related incident.
Oh, right. Now we see that it's the cat that owns a person.
Exactly.
It's a better thing. I'd keep that in. Like, that's it.
Cuts just let his cat out the door. He let him through one door, then another door.
And he was walking on the bunkers looking for food. Yeah. Not acceptable.
Yeah. Well,
my house,
I wouldn't
rooms.
Do that shit.
What I was saying was that, so you get people who are like ex-military, or vaguely ex-military, we seem more like territorial army ex-people, going across to Africa to protect lions and elephants and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they're also, so we're protecting them from poachers and from other people, but we're also protecting them from people who have, for millennia, had eaten bushmeat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I don't want people to kill them just for sport, but if you've got people got that relationship with them for millennia, I don't have a problem with that. No. But they're stopping these people doing it as well. Another thing in the article brought up that I thought was interesting was it said, they're talking about a Tupperware box full of baby rats, and the person didn't want to ask whether they were for food for snakes or whether they were you know, to sell as rats. But that brings up an interesting thing, because loads of people have rats as pets.
Yeah.
But as we know, you know, people have snakes. Give her snakes, not live mice, obviously, but frozen mice and rats.
Well, that's the thing. Rats make fantastic pets. They're really intelligent creatures, and that's absolutely fine. But a snake needs to eat. That's the thing. It's the same for me. It's like, I'm trying to think of an animal that I would eat.
You're looking at that cat.
I'm like,
hey, Simba.
Simba.
You're looking at me.
No, but that's it. Like, for instance, my parents have chickens.
Yeah.
They keep them as pets and they're all named. Uh-huh. They all have their own names, they've all got their own personalities, and they're all brilliant. You've got Tina with her mad hair and her weird walk.
Sounds like a real human Tina. Well,
she is Tina Turner, that's exactly it.
So obviously.
The only reason they have them is for both companionship for them, because they're outside in the garden a lot and they get to chat away to these wonderful creatures that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
as well as the fact that these things produce eggs, so therefore it saves them money and they now essentially live off omelettes. But it's the kind of weighing up the point where my dad would be like, well, that thing looks quite tasty, and I just can't imagine him ever doing it with those animals, whereas he'll happily go out during the hunting season and be like, that deer is mine.
But that's the thing, it's different rules for different animals.
Any other kind of bird. Probably even if it was another chicken.
Yeah.
Do you think? Yeah.
But probably, yeah.
It's different rules for different animals. That's what's interesting about it. So it's almost as if there isn't an ethical certainty about it anyway.
That's,
unless you're a vegan.
Even
then, you can still keep pets as a vegan.
I think one of the things said, there was kind of on the point that you brought up, there was a guy who went total vegan and like had a total like life changing event where he realised that
where he lost his mind.
Well, animals, the exploitation of animals was really bad and and then he was like, but I've got a pet, and it was a cockatoo or something like that, and he was just kind of like, oh, there's a moral dilemma. He was like, well, okay, so he took the cockatoo, went outside, and just opened his hand and let it go. And he's like, well, if it comes back, then that's fine. It went away and never came back. And then he kind of sat and thought about it. It was like, well, I probably killed it because it probably won't be able to survive and will just die.
Exactly.
And he was like, so I don't know if I did the better thing or not.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, if something has been captive bred and it's been imprinted by the point that... I mean, for instance, you go and see all these shows. There was one in the Kingsgate the other day in Dunfermline, and it was owl magic.
Oh, yeah.
And the only magical thing that I saw about it was the fact that these owls were just so depressed.
Yeah.
And the magical bit was that they hadn't managed to find a way to kill themselves. Because there was a European eagle owl that was sat, and you can tell with owls when they're pissed off, because they've got pissed off faces.
Yeah.
And, like, they've got crazy eyebrows. Uh-huh. And this eagle owl was clearly just like, if it, like, because it was surrounded by kids, and you can see it was just like... one of them comes near me, I'm fucking having it. So it's like, it'd been imprinted.
I'd pay to watch.
But it'd almost been imprinted. Yes. Yeah, I would love it. Honestly, I was saying it to Charlotte, I was like, please. Like, there was a little owl.
Bring back the Colosseum.
Like a little owl, if that was the kickoff, would just be hilarious. Like, scratch, scratch.
A couple of years ago, I was offered an eagle owl chick for 50 quid, and the temptation was there.
I'm glad you didn't do it.
I did have an eagle try and attack me at my work. Because, you know, I work in Asda, so usually every so often they'll have like the birds of prey display outside with the trolleys. So one day, like, oh, let's get a photo with our colleagues and the birds of prey. So we're standing in this line, and one of the colleagues is holding this fucking huge eagle and just sitting there. And I'm just sitting there going, a big smile on my face. Right across, and it was like the distance between me and where I'm holding this beer, like that. I was like, just the holder just like pulling him back. And I was just like, to that day, I was like, as soon as I was like, fuck this, I'm out.
You don't want that thing to get a grip on your face.
Oh, God, no, it was horrible. It was just like,
it's due to that reason, and I completely agree with you as well, Jimmy, about taking wild animals and trying to imprint them and keep them as pets, because it just doesn't work. And ethically, I think that's totally ridiculous.
You've got to think it lives free.
I think it's totally fair enough having animals that are imprinted, that are bred for the reasons of being pets, such as dogs, cats, even chickens and stuff as well. Yeah. That's fine. Even though they are the closest relation to dinosaurs, let's not get into that.
Fucking raptors. Many fucking raptors.
Exactly. Look at their feet. It's crazy. But, I think ethically, you want a pet, you're going to treat it as a member of the family, get a bloody pet. That's it.
I think we live in an age now where our animals have a collective consciousness as well. Like they are part of the family because we treat it like part of the family, and it reacts in that sort of way. There was I've got it back in my head, kids with autism, they have a lot of problems with that. Like there was a video online for ages where a kid, when he freaked out, he'd punch himself, keep petting himself, keep hitting himself, and then the dog would know exactly what to do, just come up, and he would just cuddle into it. And he would just stop, he would just calm down. And then you see instances of that as well, where a little girl had a dog every night, came up, cuddled her, it passed away, and it had another dog, and it worked out exactly what to do right away, knew exactly how to go about, come up and did exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another one that came out this week, I don't know if you guys seen it, with two Rottweilers, and one had passed away and the other one was just lying on its head. Right. And I think there's that side of it where I think we tend to forget that, they are intelligent enough to have emotions, and they know how to react to things and see how people react and the other animals react to what they do. They're not just mindless things. They're not objects.
No.
They are creatures that are part of a consciousness in your family, and they grow up that way. I think there's a stigma between certain animals as well. My sister had a staffy, and people would say,
a bastard devil dog.
Yeah.
Except staffies aren't.
They are the sweetest thing if you treat them properly. They're absolutely
like any dogs, really.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to how they've been brought up and treated as well. You got that look in your face.
They're not getting that.
It's all nurture, no nature.
Yeah.
I just like Sable as a counter to that. All that's true, but dogs also, like, someone on Facebook recently shared a thing saying, oh, this dog's friend died and it was crying. And it had water coming out of its eye. Dogs don't cry. They don't fucking cry. They don't smile with their mouths.
Yeah,
it's like, what is it, Reddit?
Oh!
Our smiling at our pets.
Yeah, yeah, our animals smiling.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they don't. The vast majority of animals don't smile. It does in my head. They show happiness, but not with their mouths. And most of them don't cry tears of pain.
They just kind of...
I do want to see those images, though.
Anyway. Like, don't get wrong, I'll correct myself in that video then, but there was not so much it was crying, like you said. This, but it moped.
Oh, it was like, yeah.
It just sits. No,
but that's so my Facebook put one up that was like, it did look sad, but it said, oh, look, it's crying. It's like, it's got fucking dry eyes, that's why.
And if you do find any images of animals crying, please send them to Jamie.
Andrew Carnegie's got a load of them. No, I just on your point as well, James. I think this will be the last thing I want to say on it, but it's like, I think your point is really right, because it's like, we think of pets as being part of our family, but they also clearly adopt you as part of their family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean.
I think that's right. If you treat them right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's things like cats as well. This documentary like a year or two ago about sort of like cat behaviour and cat behaviours in the home, and it kind of made me realise that there are times when we even you know, like having cats, that you do treat them like humans and you don't realise it, and I think that's just gonna happen. But it's when you do remember that they are cats, and if you kind of treat them like a cat and behave almost like they would behave to you, I think that actually it helps cause less stress, and helps them sort of like bond with you better as well, and that kind of thing. I think there's a halfway mark that you can meet.
That's...
rather than just being human and cat, it's like, be a member of that cat's family and that cat will be a member of your family.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of these things where you just need to ask yourself the question of, have you ever asked your pet a question?
All the time.
Has it ever answered? You're mental.
There was this one
just
time.
Like God.
There was this one time, but there was a lot of mescaline.
Good.
We went on an adventure.
So I think we've kind of explored that.
Yeah, should we bring it to a close?
Jamie, are you gonna call it?
I was trying to work in a dogs die in hot cars joke after my be your own pet joke, but relating bans on animals, but I couldn't quite.
I don't know if there's any jokes about that.
Just on the thing of dogs die in hot cars obviously being a band name. One of our sometimes listeners, I don't know how often she listens, but Eleanor had said something about being at the beach with her kids today, and that they had a lovely time, and one of the things that they did was digging holes to China, and I was like, that is a great band name.
Right, I'm good.
Yeah, it's like, if I ever have a band, that's what I want to call it.
Is it weird that I just stopped for a second? How close did they get?
Well, you know, as a kid, it's always
a dream.
Yeah.
It's just horrible at the fact that they'll hit water and drown.
And if they get past that, they've got the equator to sit through.
Yeah,
it's melt.
I think what we're going to do is have a bit of a good old fashioned fight club tonight.
Ring a dingy ding ding.
Yeah, let's get it on.
Shading ding.
My one's a bit shit, so we'll see how we're doing for time. And I'm clearly not prepared, so.
Welcome, one and all, back to the specially constructed imaginary 9-sided Nonagon for another fantasy fight club. I suggest you all settle in, for we have another tremendous fight card for you good folk out there tonight. If you're not familiar with the format yet, then I shall explain. Each of us pits two fighters into the Nonagon to battle. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then mull over their faults and merits and how we think the fight would go. We then all decide on a winner. So let's get ready to ramble. I've got it, I'm sticking with it, it's my catchphrase.
Yeah, right. I liked the slight Newcastle Geordie tinge to your way.
Yeah.
Away, man!
Yeah. It's only because I've got a friend from Sunderland who is basically a borderline idiot.
He's from Sunderland.
Yeah. Actually, he's like Rain Man, he's really good with numbers, but just not words.
Sunderland, that's a part of Newcastle.
It is. One of the suburbs.
The metro goes to it must be.
Yeah.
So, who would like to step up and bring the first contenders to the ring tonight?
Well, I may as well kick it off. I was today kind of conflicted with what I should actually go with. I had a bit of time to kill and sort of had a really good think through what I'd mentioned last time, which was going to be me against Michael Beattie. So what I actually did today, I put us through an online fantasy fight.
Holy shit.
Get the fuck out of here.
I had time to kill. So basically what happened, it lasted 10 rounds.
Okay.
Now, Jesus. I was a raider, mm-hmm, due to my profession, which is a raider. And Beattie was a fencer.
Oh wow.
It lasted for 10 rounds, and what happened was I managed to find a gap in Michael Beattie's cloth armour. I struck him in something vital with an axe, which you can only assume is his cock, and Beattie fell to the ground with the fight finished and Dave Rogers won. So that was internet, so it must be true. So
I've got one. I was having a wee think about it, and of course I've got a bit of a history of doing generally things that are a wee bit nostalgic, things from our past.
I'm getting laid.
So I thought this week we would do Super Ted versus Banana Man.
Banana Man easily.
I'm gonna have to
test
your logic on that one.
In fairness, I'm trying to think about what Super Ted actually used to do, because I remember him crossing roads safely.
He used to fly around the universe chasing after Texas Pete.
He got his spot. Spotty Man. Was he psychic?
I remember him.
He was a bit of a C-3PO ripoff. Yeah. They even did an episode where there was...
Look like Mr. Blobby, but
a little bit,
C-3PO?
Yeah.
Okay.
They did an episode where there was a race of people who worshipped him, and there was a big like cave that looked like him and everything like that, which was kind of like the Ewoks. And
Why did it rip off the worst bit of the original show?
Because it was Super Ted and it was for kids.
That's true.
Like, I suppose the worst bit in Star Wars.
The story of their powers are quite interesting, whereas like Super Ted's got that convoluted story where he got lost in a factory, found in a shop window where an alien popped his head in, shot it with a ray gun. Hooray, you've got superpowers. Whereas Banana Man,
did Mother Nature not give him?
No, I don't know. It was something that came in. Pretty sure, gave him
that rings a bell.
Yeah, Mother Nature gave him his powers.
Was it Mother Nature?
Yeah.
See, I think you're about to take a piss out of Banana Man there, but of course.
I was going
to
say, he's got bananas.
Well, the best bit about Banana Man was that anybody could be Banana Man. All you had to do is eat a banana.
Well, I struggle with potassium when
that's bullshit.
It just really actually just gives me chronic heartburn.
I've never had that.
Yeah. I fucking brutal. Love a banana.
Yeah. Great for hangovers as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh.
And post gym workouts.
Mm.
Yeah, good banana.
I did actually used to force myself to eat bananas. I always found they were much easier to eat with the ones that were a bit more ripe. Like when they were really
like brown.
You know what the trick is? You need to not swallow them whole.
Well, he needed to practice.
Sword swallowing champion.
Although Banana Man does bring up a question here. You know, when he eats a banana, he bulks up pretty big pretty quickly. Yeah. Does bananas not count as performance enhancing drugs at this point? Yeah. I mean,
no,
that's why there's got to be some.
He can't help it if he has an underlying genetic condition. Bananas are completely natural.
Is that the story you're telling you, Saturday?
Yeah,
I'm going down with that.
Yeah.
In fairness, though, I do remember being a a kid and taking Super Ted multivitamins.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I definitely did.
I'm just thinking,
and it tasted awful as well.
With Eric and Banana Man, that is one hell of an anaphylactic reaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he uses it for good as well, rather than run to the doctor.
Unlike Super Banana Man had a great public health message, eat more fruit, whereas Super Ted was like, I'll have these multivitamins, you definitely won't just piss them out. Which you do, unless you really fucking need them.
And all Texans are evil. There's some kind of like mummy type vibe that used, the guy that used to hang around with Texas Pete as well.
There was a big guy, really big guy.
Internet, phone.
Just another thing against Super Ted smearing people of Arabic backgrounds. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I don't even remember this, but I would say that the crow in Banana Man was clearly racist.
Okay.
So yeah, well, swings and roundabouts with that one.
I never liked Super Ted, can you tell?
I can barely remember Super Ted, as I say.
Do you know, most of the time when you think about TV shows you watch, you can sort of hear the voices and things.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I couldn't tell you
if it was a British thing, an American thing.
It was definitely Brit.
I think it was Brit.
I had a customer once when I was working who was from, what number? I looked it up to make sure I was right. And the person was actually from, it was like 29 or whatever, is Acacia Road, where Banana Man, where Eric stays. And I was like, holy shit. And actually, the guy actually had some good batter. I was like, do you realise, by the way, that you stay in the same house? Quality customer service right there.
Just to go back to earlier on, we're talking about how Super Ted was born. I've actually got it here, and we're both right. It was the story of an ordinary teddy bear who, upon his creation at a toy factory, was deemed defective and thrown away into an old dark storeroom. By chance, he is discovered by Spotty, a visiting alien from the planet Spot, who decides to bring the bear to life using his cosmic dust.
That's right.
Cocaine, hurry!
Whoa!
Spotty then brings the now living teddy bear to Mother Nature, who gives the bear special powers, transforming him into Super Ted. Whenever trouble arises, Super Ted whispers his secret magic word.
Transforms
into a superhero adorned with a red suit, cape, and rocket boots. I'll just stop from there.
What's the secret magic word?
I don't know.
You never found out.
You never found out.
But the bad guys, the Texas.
I need a hit.
Bad guys were Texas Pete and his two henchmen, which were the overweight and bumbling Bulk and the cowardly and effeminate Skeleton.
Yeah, Skeleton, that was it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that show, kids TV show, Skeletons or something?
Funny Bones.
Yeah, it's like the dark.
Funny Bones was 10 times better than Super Ted.
Yeah, definitely.
Are we all kind of...
I take those skeletons with zero musculature over Super Ted.
Wow, you must really...
They'll be like the ones in Jason and the Argonauts. You'll kill them and they'll fall apart and they'll come back every round and just keep fighting.
I have to say, I actually thought both Banana Man and Super Ted were absolute weapons. Like, I didn't like either. Like, seriously, could not stand either of them.
Well, it's funny you say that because Banana Man was recruited by the MOD during the Cold War, so... Yeah.
What?
He was an absolute weapon.
He was also a DC Thompson.
He was
property. He was in the Dandy, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's probably why I like him so much. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was in the Dandy. Yeah.
Nice. Usually, fourth pages. Five and six, something like that.
It was
double spread.
Because at first it would be. Desperate Dan.
Then it was usually like.
I love Desperate Dan when I was a kid.
Yeah. Was that the one that had the best?
Steve Brady's were cow pies.
Yeah. Desperate Dan, Minnie the Minx, and then I think usually I.
Did that have the best? Was that the Bass Street Kids? Or was that the Beano?
That was Beano.
It just reminds me of Halloween, and I was at Mush's flat on Guildhall Street, looking out towards Istanbul.
Uh huh.
And there was kickoff up at Istanbul, as it always is. People were fighting left, right, and centre. And up the hill comes Banana Man, Batman, and Robin. And they ran up, the police were there. And Banana Man goes, oh, I'm fucking Banana Man. I need to care what the fuck's going on. So, yeah.
It's incredible. It's like the good. Worst Justice League ever. Yeah. Come to the rescue.
That is the Fife's answer. Of the Justice
League. Say worse, but we better than the film. Guaranteed.
I saw something like that's a very vaguely similar note. I was out in Edinburgh one Halloween, and it was before. Do you remember that time when people, adults, didn't fucking dress up for Halloween?
Yeah.
Because it's just happened recently and it's fucking ridiculous. Anyway, but so it was that time when people didn't dress up. I thought people didn't dress up, and I was out with a girl, and we were out in Edinburgh, and we were walking down the street, and like, admittedly, we had a bit to drink and things like that, but it was a kind of beautiful story as we were walking along behind. Actually, we followed the what do you call him? The guy for Alice in Wonderland, the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
We followed the Mad Hatter for a bit. That was quite interesting. And that sort of led us to a bit where Wolverine and Superman were holding hands down the street. And I was like, fucking hell. Who knew?
Well, if there was ever going to be a couple, that would make sense.
Yeah.
What basically Superman wouldn't shoot is like gigantic like super spunk through him and he would recover.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it, no matter how many times it blasted it through his back, it would heal.
Yeah, so in many ways that really is a kind of perfect relationship.
It'll get to a stage where Superman will feel kinky with kryptonite and then it'll just go wrong. Yeah. Horribly, horribly wrong.
Get out the kryptonite dildo again. I'm
feeling frisky.
Well, this took a dark turn.
Sorry.
I'm calling it. Banana Man. Yeah, Banana Man.
Banana Man, yeah.
Yeah, Banana Man.
Hated them. I can't call it because I hated them both. Equally.
Technical draw.
You were such a miserable, typical single kid.
It wasn't fucking Transformers or Thundercats or Jason the Wheeled Warriors.
Jason.
Lightning strikes. Yes!
To fight the evil of Zoss.
Of all the stuff that has come back, like, you know how you can like basically have any bit of nostalgia that you want now, like through online or whatever. The only one you cannot get is Jason the Wheeled Warriors. Which is like, surely it was the best. Yeah. I don't know. It might not have been.
No, it was. Jason Wu was pretty awesome.
On that note, something that, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but a few weeks ago I came across on YouTube, it got suggested to me, a channel that just streams King of the Hill 24/7. It's fucking amazing. Whoa, I sat down and like 2 hours had gone by. I was like, oh shit, yeah, just watching King of the Hill.
Nice. Well,
obvious propane jokes.
Yeah. Well, we'll go to another fight. Anybody else?
Yeah, James? I've got one. I'm going to go down the nostalgia route as well. Now, I'm a bit worried that we've done this one before. I don't think we have, but I'm just worried.
In which case, we can cleverly edit it out. And adjust.
But I'm going to go down the nostalgic route as well. And it's quite funny that we talked about pets and animals at the beginning of this, because I have one. It's a long-running feud that needs to be settled. We're going to settle it tonight. Because I'm going to have in one corner Mickey Mouse, and in the other corner, Bugs Bunny.
Oh. The juggernauts of two studios.
Yeah.
I've already been mined up, but let's.
We all know Mickey Mouse is an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've got the feeling Bugs Bunny
could be the crowd favourite for this.
Probably
one.
Racist in his own way as well. Yeah. I don't know.
But he did have a long-running feud with a probably decidedly racist redneck.
Yeah. That does. That brings into our thing earlier about hunting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it actually brings in something that I've kind of talked to you about. Yeah. But recently, DC Comics have done this batshit thing where they teamed up with, well, it's Warner Brothers, you know, that own them, but they've done a team up with Looney Tunes, and they have done the DC superheroes versus Looney Tunes characters.
Oh,
but how they've done it has been quite clever, because the one that I've read is Batman versus Elmer Fudd.
Well, can we also just say, as Fife's,
did I fall asleep? What the fuck?
But also, as Fife's premier podcast, can we not just say, in Fife parlance, how fucking funny the name Elmer Fudd is? There's no way as a child that you can't just absolutely piss yourself.
It's a good one. But yeah, the comic, it's done. There's two sides to the comic, and I've only read the Batman Elmer Fudd one so far, but the first half is done in the DC Comics style, and then the second half is done in the Looney Tunes style. So, like, the first half, it's Elmer Fudd is a hired, is an assassin for hire, and he talks about it's hunting season because, you know, he's out on the kill and he's got a job.
Trying to kill the wabbit.
So Bugs Bunny is in it, but Bugs Bunny isn't a bunny. That, like, all the characters are like
people
within Gotham. And but like Bugs Bunny is like a he's sort of like a,
I'm gonna have to look at this up.
An informant. You know, on the street, he's a wee bit Weasley.
Leaning on a lamppost and nibbling a carrot.
Well, he sits and eats carrots like he would be eating nuts at the bar. So there's a bar.
Dresses up as a girl.
There's a bar called Porky's, and it's Porky Pig, but it's the barman's just like a really ugly guy with like a shunted up nose and whatnot, and he's Porky, and everybody is in the bar. You've got Sylvester and Tweety, who are, Tweety's just like a really small pudgy man, and Sylvester's a bit of a card shark, and it's like they all have their traits, but they're there as sort of like almost underworld human characters in Gotham, and it's about how Elmer Fudd has been dating a woman who also Bruce Wayne has been dating, and the woman ends up dead, I think. And so Elmer Fudd, somebody says that it was Bruce Wayne that killed her. Bugs Bunny tells Elmer Fudd that it was Bruce Wayne that killed him to get him off his back. And then he goes and goes after Bruce Wayne, which doesn't end well for him.
This is fucking mad.
I'm just looking at this. It's so mad. But the worst part, well, let's say the worst stroke, most genius part about it is the entire thing is written like detective.
Noir sort of thing. That's what I imagine.
Yeah, it's a story, but it's entirely written from Elmer Fudd's point of view in the way that Elmer Fudd speaks. So it is. Christ. It takes a lot of reading to translate it. So that pesky wabbit. But I, it is batshit.
He wanted me out.
I do hold Foghorn Leghorns in it.
You ain't no chicken hawk. You are roast.
He's in it. They're like, they're all there. Eh? They all get a little bit in this thing when they're in the bar. I'll need to try and get a copy of it to show you, because it is mad. But anyway, that's away from the fight.
Can I come back very quickly to a point Jamie made? Bugs Bunny is definitely not a racist, because him and Michael Jordan played basketball at the same time. Aliens.
Oh, I've got black friends. I've got lots of black friends.
That's what they all say when they want to make it okay to say racist things. Yeah. Yeah, I've got friends early now.
Michael Jordan, the famous token black Looney Tune.
Oh, no.
Space Jam website, go look it. I think it's
still
up.
Yeah, since
fucking fantastic.
Since 1995, it still exists.
It's got that Netscape feel.
Yeah.
So Mickey Mouse is a dick.
Yeah. He's also a wizard. If you want to follow the films.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, fair point. Holy shit!
And, also, favorite and he's also a train engineer.
The thing is, he was a steamboat. You know, that's the thing though. It's like, I've never seen Mickey Mouse involved in a fight, I don't think.
No.
Whereas Bugs Bunny is permanently involved in he's a proper weaselly little bastard. Yeah.
He's like Mayweather, because he'll just duck and dive and he'll not be touched. He's got that movement on him.
But then he'll also blow someone up with dynamite.
And he'll blow someone up with dynamite.
See what you're saying about the comics, I would love. I'm getting a little bit sick of superhero movies, even though I'll still go and see them, because I'm a loser. But do you know what I would love? I would love live action Warner Brothers things, which are taken as seriously as superhero movies are now. And instead of having DC versus Marvel, you could have Warner Brothers versus
like Hanna-Barbera.
And then you could have like the two teams fight each other as well. It'd be fucking great,
because that would work as well, because they're both WB properties. Yeah. So yeah, you could have like the Flintstones versus.
You could have Donald Duck versus Daffy Duck.
All right, ooh. You're going Disney.
That's yeah, Disney. Disney. Sorry, I meant yeah. Disney Warner Bros. That's yeah. better. That's classic. Ah.
That would have been another good fight, Daffy and Donald and Daffy.
Yeah.
Donald and Daffy.
I'll keep that in the back pocket for the next one.
I was going to say on the Mickey Mouse one though. This is a real personal hit, but I remember being a child and like. There's that bit when you have to get entertained by something while adults are speaking, mm-hmm. and somebody's like, "I will put on a video for you." If they put on Fantasia, they can get too far. It was like, "I'll put on this Disney video. I'll put on a cartoon." It's not a fucking cartoon, is it? See, when you're a child, it's a catastrophe.
I actually loved Fantasia, so
yeah, but same. But... Totally. Fucking amazing.
It's just Pym and Hing everything.
Are you joking? Oh my god, am I on my own? On this one, possibly. I hated that moment when like Fantasia came on.
Okay, well, I'm gonna quickly call this one.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna go for Bugs Bunny. I'm
gonna go with Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny, totally Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny. Yeah.
Bugs Bunny will fuck totally. Him up.
Yeah, I think Bugs Bunny. He's just that wily way. Yeah, we're gonna have to wrap up because I'm running out of battery. Anybody else?
Just like Superman with his kryptonite dildo.
Anybody else got a fight?
No.
No? Mark?
No.
Sure?
Well, dude, but we don't have time. Let's go.
Give us it.
Richard Dean Anderson in Stargate versus Richard Dean Anderson as MacGyver.
Oh, I gotta get MacGyver every day of the week.
No.
Every day of the week you give that to MacGyver.
Jack O'Neill would win it hands down.
MacGyver can do.
We'll save this for the next episode. And then you can think for your face. Let's go.
Right, so anyway, Jamie, would you like to give us the socials? Because we need to bring this to a close.
Yes, please talk to us and behind our backs. Facebook.com/FiveClubPod or at FiveClubPod, Twitter at FiveClub, email FiveClubPod@gmail.com or Instagram FiveClub.
Also, you can get us at www.fifeclub.co.uk.
Hey!
Because I bought it.
Oh, yay!
And I am working on a actual website, but just now it links into...
Spacejam.com.
It links into the Podomatic page, so, you know, if you want to go there and check stuff out, you can. But, it will actually be a website some point in the near future, and we'll keep you posted on that. That's all cool. Thank you very much, guys, for coming along.
Thank you.
That's good.
And I think it brings us to that point where I have to ask James, what's our motto for this week?
Always eat bananas, and if you don't have a pet, don't be a wank about people who do have pets.
Wow. That'll do it. Good night.
Night.
Good night.